Patristic Nectar Publications is pleased to present A Word from the Holy Fathers by His Grace, Bishop Irenae of London and Western Europe. These short meditations reveal the ancient wisdom of the Church Fathers and apply it to 21st century Christian living. And now, His Grace, Bishop Irenae.
To focus on texts which are not simply beautiful in their form or magnificent in their wording, but which disclose the abiding wisdom of the Church Fathers, wisdom that leads Christian people in this, as in every age, in the practical living out of the Christian life and the attainment of the kingdom. At times, as we have seen, certain texts require of us some attention, some effort, some digging, to find those gems which speak to us directly of the practical concerns that befall and await all of us in Christian life. But at other times, and in other texts, there is almost no digging required to discover the utterly practical dimensions of the Father's wisdom. To exemplify this, I would like us to focus today on the question of singing and how to sing in the church. This is such a practical point of focus that it consumes the everyday life of many a parish. What music shall we sing? How shall we sing it? How do we deal with different types of personalities and tones and musical preferences? If this was not a practical question for church life, I do not know what could be. A few weekends ago, I had the great pleasure of participating in a conference and retreat dealing with Orthodox life held in the southwest of England. A fellow participant there was Professor Dimitri Konomos, an Orthodox musicologist living here in the UK. Professor Konomos' talk was on the very notion of Orthodox music. What makes music Orthodox, and how is one to practice Orthodox musicality? During the course of his talk, Dimitri read a text written by an Orthodox bishop on the very question of Orthodox music, and at the end he put to his listeners a question: who wrote this text, and when? For our listeners here, I present these words read by Dimitri Konomos.
So what I'm suggesting, with respect to music at least, is that if we want to seek authenticity so far as Orthodox music, church liturgical music, is concerned, it's not going to be in the style, monophonic, polyphonic, but it's going to be in the manner of performance. The manner of performance is something that is a thread that we can take from early times to the present and use as some kind of gauge. I'm just going to read you part of an address given quite recently by a bishop to choristers. I want you to listen carefully to his words, and I want you to tell me where you think the context is, which country perhaps, which region, perhaps approximately when it was written, or said, and it will take about 2 minutes, 2.5 minutes, less. Can any joy be greater than that of delighting ourselves with psalms, nourishing ourselves with prayer, and feeding ourselves with the lessons that are read in between? Like guests at a banquet enjoying a variety of dishes, our soul feeds on the rich banquet of lessons. By lessons, I mean scriptural lessons, lessons and hymns. Only, brethren, let us please God by singing with alert senses and a wakeful mind, undistracted by idle talk, so that a psalm is sung not only with the spirit, that is the sound of the voice, but with the mind also. And so we think of what we are singing rather than allow our mind, seized by extraneous thoughts, as is often the case, to lose the fruit of our labour. One must sing in a manner and with a melody that is suitably religious. Our performance must not proclaim theatrical distress, but rather exhibit Christian simplicity in its very musical movement. and must not remind one of anything theatrical, but rather create compunction in the listeners. Of course, our voice ought not to be dissonant, but consonant. One ought not to drag out the singing while another sings fast, and one not ought to sing too low while another raises his voice. Rather, each should strive to integrate his voice within the sound of the harmonious chorus and not project it outwardly in the manner of a trumpet, as if to make an immodest display. No one should sing unbecomingly louder or slower than the rest, as though for vain ostentation or for want of human admiration. The whole service must be carried out in the presence of God, not with a view to pleasing men and women. And with regard to the harmony of voices, we have a model and example in the three blessed youths of whom the prophet Daniel tells us. Then, he says, these three, as with one mouth, praised and glorified and blessed God in the furnace, saying, "Blessed art thou, O Lord, the God of our fathers." You see that it was for our instruction that we are told that the three youths humbly and holily praise God with one voice. Therefore, let all sing together as with one voice, and let all of us modulate our voices in the same way. If one cannot sing in tune with the others, it is better to sing in a subdued voice rather than drown the others out. In this way, one performs both one's liturgical function without interfering with the community singing. Not everyone, of course, has a flexible and musical voice, like me today. But if your voice is without harshness, it will be a joy to ourselves and a source of edification to those who will hear us. And God will find our united praise agreeable to him. No one should be praying with so loud a voice as to disturb the one who is reading. And if you should happen to come in while the lesson is being read, just adore the Lord, make the sign of the cross, and then give an attentive ear to what is being read. So that text I'm reading to you, I'm wondering if it's the first time you've heard it. When do you think, obviously from the quaintness of the English, you can see that it's a translation from a foreign language. So it's not written by an English bishop. Any idea where it might be from or context?
The question having thus been posed, there were a few moments of conversation in which participants at the conference guessed at the authorship and the identity and the timescale of this text that Dimitri had read. I don't include that conversation here, as the recording quality simply was not high enough. But suffice it to say that any number of guesses were made. Russia was a popular guess for the source, the provenance of the quotation, though there were also guesses at Spain or in France, and all the guesses were fairly modern, that this was a text written by a bishop in one of these locations relatively recently. Listening to such guesses for a few moments, Professor Konomos eventually brought the guesswork to a close with the following.
Okay. I think, you know, it sounds like a fairly contemporary thing because the problems are existing even today. So when I said that this was this address was given a few years ago, I really meant the year 370. This text, which is so modern in its perceptiveness about the problems of having singers keep together, this text was written so many hundreds of years ago. And it was written by Saint Nikita of Remesiana. Remesiana actually is today's Bela Palanka in Serbia. He died in the year 414, and in the year 370, he wrote De Utilitate Hymnorum, on the usefulness of hymns. The text is only in Latin, and I just translated this passage for the points that I wanted to make today. But certainly the points being made by St. Nicetus in the end of the 4th century are still very relevant today about the manner of performance. He's not talking about the style. Obviously, we're talking about a monophonic style here, but it is a choir of both men and women, the references to community singing.
Would for time we would present the whole of Professor Konomo's talk here, but for our purposes in this series, his words and his reading of this passage by St. Nikitos serve as a wonderful reminder of just how much the Father's wisdom points towards our practical life in the Church. The Fathers teach us of the heights of prayer, of the depths of theology, but they never do so in a manner that is detached from the practical living out of the Christian life, drawing attention to things which are important in shaping those interior dimensions. Oftentimes people think of the Fathers and turn to them only when they wish to hear words of exalted spiritual states, of great ascetical feats. But the Fathers of the Church are always there to remind us that the pathway towards such heights exists in the very practical Christian life that we live each day in our homes and in our churches. The next time we stand at the kleros, or sing in the choir, or join our lips and our hearts to the songs of praise in the church, let us remember this example of St. Nikitos, whose words teach us how to sing, how to pray, how to be a part of the worshipping community in a manner that lifts the heart closer to God.
We hope you have enjoyed listening to A Word from the Holy Fathers by His Grace Bishop Irenae of London and Western Europe, offered to you by Patristic Nectar Publications, nourishing the spiritually thirsty with the sweet teachings of the Holy Fathers.